Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm thankful you've tuned into the broadcast again. We're picking up our study here in Mark chapter 14. We're going to go back to verse number 60 to pick up the thought and continue on. In verse number 60, and the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" And so Jesus has been taken in Gethsemane. Judas has betrayed him. The disciples have fled. The apostles have fled, as well as others. And he's been taken to the palace of the high priest. We know in other scriptures it says that he was taken to the high priest's father-in-law's house first and then sent bound unto the high priest. They put him before the council where the chief priests and the elders and the scribes are gathered together. And then they just try to find witnesses to try to put again together enough evidence to where they can say, we need to put him to death. And they can't get the witnesses to agree. They just cannot get any witnesses to agree. There's witnesses that come and say, we heard him say that he's going to tear down the temple that has been made with hands, built with hands, and he's going to raise up in 3 days another temple without hands. And the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about his body, how he's going to be killed. He's going to give his life. He's going to be buried, and he's going to raise from the dead in 3 days. Well, they took it and twisted it into him talking about the temple, the physical temple there in Jerusalem, the Jews' temple, Herod's temple, Zerubbabel's temple. And so they're offended by that. But that doesn't work. And then so then the high priest stands up and says, how are you just not saying anything? Why don't you dispute with any? And he said, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Verse number 61. And Jesus says, which is the truth? I am. I am. I am the Christ, the Son of the Blessed. And Jesus said, I am. And you know what? Ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power. He's talking about in the throne room of God. You know, and this, as we mentioned last time, this passage is not prophetic so much to these men in particular, but to the nation as a whole. These men that sit in leadership, the high priests and the priests and the scribes and the elders and lawyers and such, they represent the nation. And the thing is, the nation has rejected Christ. Israel has rejected Christ. But one day when the heavens are opened in the 70th week of Daniel, in that time of a great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, the heavens will be open and Jesus will be seen sitting on the right hand of the Father. It declares it in the book of the Revelation. And Israel will see him coming in the clouds of heaven. They'll see and look upon the one whom they pierced, and he will deliver them at the end, as a manner of speaking. And so, Jesus tells the truth. It's part of God's work and plan that he will redeem his own nation. He came first as Savior of his people, but the Lord is also going to redeem his nation. Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Are you the Son of God? And he says, I am. I am. And it's true. He is. There are those religions and cults that want to say that Jesus is not the Son of God. He's a son of God, like we who are saved are sons of God. No, Jesus is the only begotten Son of God in the flesh. He is God himself. He's one of the Trinity, and he will come to deliver his nation. So then the high priest takes and runs with this. Verse 63, then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, what need we of any further witnesses? We don't need any more testimony here. This is enough. Ye have heard the blasphemy. You have heard that this man from Nazareth, this lowly man that has never been instructed by us and has never learned letters, you have heard what he says. He can't be. He's not a prophet. They've said this unto Nicodemus. This man can't be a prophet, much less the Savior. the Messiah. You've heard the blasphemy, he claiming to be the Son of God, and what he says he's going to do, and sitting at the right hand of God, and coming in the clouds in glory. What think ye? And they all contemned him to be guilty of death. He should die. He should die to claim, to make such a claim of himself. He should die, is what they said. And Jesus is told the truth. You know, those who are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and his great work on Calvary, his gospel, the fulfilling of his gospel, you know, there is a sense with our sins that we've said, he should die. Praise be to God, he was willing to die for my sins. Praise be to God, he was willing to die for my sins. You've heard the blasphemy. And they condemned him. They put their thumbs down in the ways of the Romans. I don't know if they did that or not, but they said, they made an indication, all of them, he's worthy of death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him, to punch him, and to say unto him, prophesy, you great prophet. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. This should never be. But our Lord Jesus Christ endured it and did so. It should never be. It should never be that Jesus experienced these things, but he did. Praise be to God, he was willing to do so. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, Isaiah writes. Verse 66, and as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. You were with him. You were with him, weren't you? And he denied, there's number one, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. So he denied the Lord once, and the rooster crows there at the beginning of the rising of the sun. That maid said, you were with him. You were with him, weren't you? And he says, no, I don't know what you're talking about. That's the way we would say it. And then the rooster crows. And a maid saw him again. So another, I believe, and began to say to them that stood by, he's one of them. And Peter's there with him, warming himself by the fire. And she says, he's one of these Galileans. He's following this Jesus that they've just condemned to death. And he denied it again. He said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not one of them. And a little after, they that stood by again said again to Peter. So you know how it is with people, you know, a seed's planted and people mill it around. They're talking and murmuring amongst themselves, and they're listening to Peter and what he's having to say and how he denied and all that. And they said, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. So said, man, you are one of them, because your dialect, the dialect in which you speak, your accent, as we would say, it gives you away. You are from Galilee. And what are you doing down here? What are you doing in here this time of the morning? You're one of them, aren't you? You're one of them. But he began to curse and to swear. So he's looking, Peter goes that route of trying to prove himself a man. And we've all have had times where we wanted to deny something righteous that we were accused of, and maybe we resorted to this. He began to curse and to swear, began to use profanity. He began to, by profanity, make the point that he was not with this righteous man. He wasn't one of them. He just happened to be here tonight and this morning. He began to curse and to swear, verse 71, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't want to know him. I don't have any part with him. Is that the way it really is with Peter? No, he's afraid. He's trying to stand on his own. He's seen what they've taken the Lord Jesus Christ and what they've done for him, and it's very hard for Peter to imagine himself being taken and to be buffeted and spit upon and abused and to not fight. The Lord Jesus has not fought. He remembers possibly how the Lord Jesus says, I could call 12 legions of angels, and the Lord Jesus has not. Peter says, I cannot submit to that. I cannot willingly allow myself to go there to be abused and taken and to be abused in this rough treatment by these men. I just can't go there. And he says, I know not this man of whom ye speak. Is that really the way Peter wants it? I don't know this man, and nor does he know me. I don't know this man. I don't know this man. Is that the way Peter really wants it? Well, he's afraid, and so he's taking any claim and position that he can take to avoid going through and suffering the same things that the Lord Jesus is suffering. I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew, just like Jesus had said. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him. He remembered, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. I want to take you to a passage over here in Luke 22 that was just really really heavy and weighty regarding this. And Luke writes this. And Luke, if we understand correctly, is a man that comes after the fact, did much investigating, did much listening to the accounts of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and no doubt talked with the Apostle Peter and others about the way that all this went, how this all transpired. And it says in Luke chapter 22, verse number 60, and Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. In verse 61, it says, And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter remembered. The Lord looked upon him. You know, the Lord is there enduring all that he's enduring. He's been spit upon and beat and buffeted and all that. You know what? And he is still considered, he's still considering and working on Peter. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we would say, would be at the most trying and challenging point of his life, where he's being physically abused by others and they threatening to put him to death. And you know what? The Lord Jesus is still considering about Peter. What a Savior we have. If you're not saved, I point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and trust in him. Believe in him. Believe him and his gospel for the salvation of your soul. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com,
or on the web at www.almstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Almsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.